Blog Talk Radio.
Special guest for you guys today, and I'm talking about this lady here. She's Dynamite, okay, and her name is Miss Josie Smith Green, okay. But before I go any further with that, I'm gonna ask the host, Miss Tamaya, to go ahead on and bring Miss Josie on air with us.
Well, thank you for that introduction, Mr. Brown. Happy holidays and welcome my Uplifting Community family. My name is Tamaya Gaines, and today is Monday, December 13th. We only have 12 days left until Christmas, so if you're one of my last-minute Christmas shoppers out there, don't worry, tonight you're in luck. Tonight's guest has the perfect stocking stuffer gift that everyone is guaranteed to love. But before we get into that, have any of you been paying attention to the great debate that's been sweeping our nation? If you haven't, let me fill you in. Texas has effectively banned abortion. Yep, you heard that right. Texas passed what is arguably one of the strictest abortion laws in the country. The Supreme Court is expected to decide on this case in the summer of 2022. If the Supreme Court upholds this Texas law on abortion, this ruling will overturn the Roe versus Wade ruling of 1973. Stripping women of their right to choose, making this another landmark case. Meanwhile, California is supposed to become a sanctuary state for women's rights, should the Supreme Court uphold Texas law. And I'm sure we have both pro-choice and pro-life listeners on tonight's broadcast. And I believe everyone should be able to exercise freedom of choice. But in this scenario, what I'd like to ask is, who is our brother's keeper? Is our brother's keeper the pro-lifer, the one protecting the unborn child? Or is our brother's keeper the pro-choice, the one protecting the woman's right to choose? Who's being protected if there's only one voice? What happened to family etiquette? While you ponder the answers to those questions, our next guest has written a book on family etiquette, a fading tradition with each passing generation. Sadly, when the matriarch is gone, sometimes the family structure goes with it. So please help me welcome tonight's guest, author and future best-selling author, Miss Josie, or as some may call her, Jazzo Green. Welcome to Uplifting Communities Talk Show.
Thank you, Tamaya. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Josie, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
My name is Jazzo Green, known as Josie as well. I was born in Stockton and raised between the two cities of Oakland and Stockton. Later on in life, I ended up moving back to Stockton with my oldest daughter, and I ended up getting married some years after and had another beautiful daughter. Just finished my first self-published book, Family Etiquette.
All righty. And did I hear you correctly, both Stockton and Oakland, California?
Yes. So right? I was born in Stockton. Yes, born in Stockton, moved to Oakland in the fifth grade, and was pretty much raised between the two cities. So I would always go back and visit family, and then there were times where I would actually go back and live. So it's pretty tough, but, you know, I made it through, made it through.
Okay, and just, okay, so I got to give you guys a full disclaimer to everybody who's listening. Josie is actually my cousin, okay? So don't let the smooth voice fool you. You heard correctly, Stockton, California, and Oakland. That's 209 and 510. That's a double dose of hood, okay? So listen. She's sweet as pie, but trust me, she can go there. Josie, why don't you tell our audience what inspired you to write this book?
So what inspired me to write the book was my children. You know, the stories will help them to fill in some of the gaps as to who I am and where I was raised and the individuals, my village, who helped to raise me. Hopefully it will help them to encourage, inspire, as well as others who read the book. But my children inspired me because I wanted to leave them something, stories about their family. No family is perfect. There's no book. But hopefully this book will help them when they do come across those obstacles that seem to be that they're unable to overcome.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I applaud you for that. The only thing I'm leaving my kids is an IOU. They still owe me from
So the book is a collection of stories, stories about my grandmother, my parents. It's about there is domestic violence. There is dysfunctional family issues. There are struggles that we all as individuals face in life. So the book just goes through these stories that will hopefully help, as I said, to clear things up, not only for my kids, but hopefully it will touch some other individuals that may be dealing with those type of issues themselves and look for something to give them some encouragement. So it's about obstacles. It's about things that we go through in life with our family, functional or not. You know, these are the hands that the cards that we were dealt, so we have to play them as best we can and not let the bad things define what our future will hold.
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting you should say that, because that is interesting that she should mention that, because a lot of times family like to keep sensitive topics very private, such as domestic abuse and the blemishes that stain family. How did your family react to this published work with you exposing some of your family secrets?
Well, you know, I was really fortunate and blessed that they were so open to be able to share their stories. My mother, my sisters, and then I also remembered the stories that my grandmother who raised me told. So they wanted their stories to be told, because I think for all of us it was a little therapy, some relief there as well. I mean, you know, we all aren't completely healed, but it was definitely a great start. There were, you know, times, of course, where it was an emotional roller coaster, because you would have to relive those painful moments, but those painful moments you learn from and they make you stronger. So they were really open about it. They were very forthcoming in the information that they gave me. So I was blessed to be able to have that to make this great book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you lucky. Because a lot of times, you know, family members don't like for you to expose, you know, the family secrets, you know, and so you lucked out, you know, to where you have a, you know, family members that is open minded. And another thing too, I want to let the audience know that you're listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show. And if you wanted to ask Josie a question or elaborate on something, please press 1, and I will let you in. Okay, remember, press 1, and I'll let you in, and you can ask her a question or elaborate on something. Go ahead, Tamaya.
Okay, as I'm reading your bio here, it says that you have a couple of daughters, right? 17. Where did I read this? A couple of daughters, 17, and help me out. How old is your other daughter?
They're 17 years apart. So I was a teenage mother. Yeah, so I had my first daughter when I was 19. So I was still young myself, trying to figure out life, and it was hard. And then I had my second daughter when my oldest was in high school. By that time, my mom, you know, I was the basketball mom and getting froyo and doing all the things that I neglected to do really with the oldest daughter. So in writing the book as well, it talks about our relationship and how we had to talk and heal those things that we had, because the space was definitely different. So my mindset, as I said, was different. So she's a great big sister, and she's a great daughter. So she's very understanding. She understood that I was, you know, young myself, you know, trying to figure things out. And I was really blessed to have my mother and my sisters and my village, you know, to help me with my daughter, you know, at a time where I was so young and I still wanted to go out and, you know, have a good time. So that is also in the book, because that was a process where my daughter had to heal from those years, which was different from the younger daughter, who is now living totally different from what mom was at 19 and 20.
Yeah, and in your book, I'm quite sure you you say some things in your book about you, you know, what you went through and things of that nature, the hardship, the good time, the bad time, you know, that you went through. I'm quite sure you talk about that. And how do your younger daughter take that?
You know, for her, at the age of 10, finding out about all these things because of, you know, the book, and she's, of course, interested, and she wants to know. We try not to water it down because we don't want to kind of carry on what we were learned, what we were taught when we were younger, but yet and still I do know that she is 10. So there are things that we have to explain to her a little differently, but we do get the message across, be it if it's, you know, just family issues, you know, or things that we are trying to tackle as a family. So it's a little different when you have a 10-year-old versus a 29-year-old, where you can just kind of lay it out there, you know. So, yeah.
Right. Right. I definitely can understand that.
If you could change anything, what would that be? What would that be?
You know, it might have been my mindset on thinking that I really didn't need my father around, because I you know, I've always been very strong-minded and very just, I know what I want, and that's what I want, and I'm going to go after it and get it. But sometimes that can get in the way of things, and I always thought, you know, I don't need my dad around. I don't need a man for this and this and that. But when I got older, I understood that had I had that, then, you know, maybe it would have been different or better role models. But sometimes you just kind of get stuck in your head. But I think it's just a part of the learning process. So I don't want to say that I would necessarily change anything, but maybe make better decisions, you know, maybe make better decisions. But when you don't have certain things set in place, be it if it's a man to, you know, maybe show you an example of a great relationship, or, you know, what it's like to be courted, then maybe your decisions will be different. But I don't know, Tammy. That's like I really don't know what I would change. I think all of it is part of a learning experience. But, yeah, maybe my mindset about certain things.
Your mindset.
But I think it comes with age and maturity. Yeah.
I agree. And it's funny because I used to think that looking from the outside in at other people's lives, I felt like I was missing something, right? Oh, okay, so I'll tell you guys this, and as I didn't realize this until I got older. But I used to think I was the only one who got whoopings, like when I was younger. You know, I go to school, everybody else, I get whoopings. But nobody admitted it until they got older, right? I didn't realize how similar my life was to other people. Yeah, because, you know, I'm looking at their life from the outside in. So a lot of things I experienced, I thought I was the only one experiencing those things, and I was afraid to talk about it because I thought people would look at me different, you know what I mean, or judge me based off of the things I was exposing that was supposed to be personal. So this is really, really, this is courageous of you to come out and just to share openly, you know, what the innermost thoughts and workings of your family, and the teachings of your grandmother, and to pass it on to your kids and your family alike. What was your mom's initial reaction to your book after she read it?
You know, there's a lot of crying throughout the book because, of course, lots of memories come up. But I think she was proud, very proud. She's not embarrassed or ashamed of, you know, what she's been through. And so with that being said, it made it okay, you know. It was even more of the green light for me to push forward with it. I was very careful though, because I understand how feelings, and like Mr. Brown was saying, you know, family get really into their business about you exposing some of their, you know, most intimate secrets that they're trying to go to the grave with. So I had to really be careful about that, and I was mindful. You know, my father is not with us anymore, so I really don't know what my approach would be if he was still alive, because a good deal of the book is about him. So, you know, she was proud, and she was good with me. She gave me a lot of great advice, and her story is amazing. She's, you know, it was a story that needs to be told. It can help women. It can help young ladies. The struggle is real, so I think she was just great about the whole process.
And we definitely need that. And a lot of times we're ashamed, right? But if we can also learn from other people's experience, right, other family experience, and to learn how to navigate through our own problems and challenges. So, again, I applaud you. Mr. Brown, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I applaud her too, and the reason for that, family secrets is a big thing. Okay, I know we had family secrets in my family when I was growing up. Okay,
okay,
and,
tell us one.
Well, I'll tell you one. My dad's brother, I thought they was full brothers, but come to find out that they was half brothers. You know, I didn't know. I didn't know this till I got older. You see what I'm saying? That was a family secret. So in other words, my grandmother was a Rolling Stone. You know, she went out and got pregnant by somebody else, but my grandfather accept the kid. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
So that's a family secret. Now, if I would have wrote a book and put that in there, oh, my God, my family probably wouldn't have never spoke to me. So that's why I'm saying you blessed.
Yeah.
You know, for your family to allow you, you understand, to expose some of the family secrets. But that's very important, what I see. That what you're doing, Joseph, that is so important. You know, to let people know, because I think the family should know certain things. You know, so that was one of mine. So I really applaud you for being brave enough to talk. You know, to write this book, and you know, like you have to be a little sensitive when you writing stuff like that. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to be sensitive, you know.
Okay,
so
I have a question. I have another question really quickly before you start letting people jump on and ask their questions. What separates your book from the next person's life story? how do you think your book is different?
I would say my book is different in the sense that I'm from Stockton and I'm from Oakland. We don't have many individuals like me that are from Stockton or come out of there sometimes. The odds are so against us, you know. So to be able to write a book coming from where I came from, seeing what I saw and what my life is and the individuals that are involved in it, the words on the page in itself will make it different from any other book that anybody has ever read. It's raw, it's gritty, it's uncut, and it's real. And I think there's something in there that everybody can relate to. I have gotten so much great feedback, and it tells me that I'm doing the right thing. You know, it makes me feel good about what I'm doing. When individuals call and tell me how it's touched them or how they read this chapter and it made them reflect on just them and their life, be it if it was a grandmother or, you know, just your kids. So that's what sets it apart in my eyes because of where I came from and who I am and the individuals involved.
So what series of emotions can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so what series of emotions can your reader expect to travel through as they're reading your book?
Definitely an emotional roller coaster. You know, one person described it as nail-biting. Some described it as definitely, I've heard it's a great read, but beside that, emotional roller coaster. So there's some ups and there's some downs, lots of crying, but there are great triumphant parts. So it's all about achieving. You know, at the end of the day, we all want to win. So I would say expect to feel a little bit of everything, anger, sad, mad, happy. You're going to be able to smell the food from the book. So, yeah, a little bit of everything. Nostalgic, definitely nostalgic.
Wow. Okay, and for those that don't know, Josie is also a very, very good cook. Josie, you want to tell them about your, and I know this is kind of going off topic a little bit, but she's a great cook. She used to own a restaurant or a catering company. You want to talk about that and let us know whether or not you were kind enough to share any of your recipes in the book?
Well, you know, no recipes were shared in the book. I just talked about how my grandmother she glided around that kitchen before Top Chef was Top Chef. So sitting there watching her make of all of our family favorites, and I just talk about that and listening to her while she cooks. Those are some of the greatest memories and best memories that I could, you know, they'll always be there. But, yes, I have owned two restaurants, 4 days with my family, the 4 days and my mom, and then my husband and I opened Mello's, which was named after my daughter, Mello. We are currently just catering, but since we moved, we haven't been doing that for a while. But we don't really cook as much as we used to. I've been writing more, and my husband's been working. So, but, yeah, we still do have a catering license. We do.
So you do a catering right now, catering, and you have a restaurant?
Currently, we have not. We closed. 4 days was closed 2 years ago. But, yes, we have owned restaurants, and we currently do have, yes, catering license. But we don't cater anymore. We haven't.
Okay, and also I wanted to ask you a question. I see you're a paralegal. You have a paralegal degree. How that played with you writing your book?
Well, you know, Mr. Brown, I had to do something. You know, I had 24 with a baby. It was time to make some decisions. And so I decided that I wanted to become a paralegal. My sister is the executive assistant to the city attorney of Oakland. And I've always looked up to my sister. I wanted to be like my big sister. She was in law, so I wanted to get in law. And I enjoyed it. So I worked for St. Mary's College after I finished my paralegal. I was the only black that they had ever seen work in the actual office of the law studies program. I was at a law firm where I did my internship, but they didn't want to hire an entry-level paralegal when I was done. And it didn't matter that I had been there 4.5 years. So with that being said,
wow.
I got a little fed up, you know, because I was promoted to calendar clerk. So I got fed up with it, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to find me a new job and start over. But maybe I'll come back to law because I got really frustrated with it. So I ended up working at the Port of Stockton. The money was good, the pay was good, benefits were great. And it just kind of got lost in all of that. But once I was able to stay at home and become a stay-at-home mom with my youngest daughter, I decided to just do legal work from home. So I would practice from home, divorces or whatever type of legal work that's necessary. But I've always been in administrative work. So that's kind of how that played into that.
Well, you know, like I was just wondering, you know, like you're an author, you know, a published author, and by you being a paralegal, you know, well, it's some you know, you probably knew laws and stuff like that, and writing books and you know, having people signing documents and stuff, and because I'm quite sure you use their names, you know, so you're a paralegal, you know. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, Mr. Brown. I do.
You hear me? You know, and
yes,
and the
sir,
reason
I
yeah, I know, but you did that, didn't you? The reason I say that is because, you know, I think, now that's just me personally, I think that all anybody that's writing a book, doing a documentary or whatever, they should take some type of law class on that, okay? And the reason for that is because, you know, you can, you know, you might say something about a friend or whatever, you know, and then they might try to come up there and maybe, you know, give you some problems, you know what I'm saying? And especially a book like that, your book is very sensitive, you know, and I hope, I see we got a lot of people is listening in from, look like the whole Stockton is listening in, all your family members.
I can't help it. Mr. Brown, wait a minute.
The whole
back. I can't help it. Mr. Brown, I know you wrote a book. You wrote a couple of books. Did you feel like you needed some legal advice after writing your own book? I mean,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Where is it coming from? Did somebody open your door trying to get you some problems?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
wrote a couple of
that
books myself.
Mr.
And
Brown,
you know, and a documentary. With the documentary, I had to get a form for everybody I interviewed to be in the documentary.
Oh, wow.
Other than that, nope, and is what's going to go ahead on and copy it for me. You know, do the copying,
right.
You know, when she sent them the, you know, they weren't going to do it unless I send all the paperwork to them, that the people signed it was all right for me to use them in the documentary. And that's
the
same
waiver.
Thing.
Yeah,
that is true.
You see, when I published, when I published the book, I had to send them. I forgot the name of the form. Been a while back, but I had to send it to them. They signed. So that's why I say that. You know, that was to protect myself, though.
Yes. And as a paralegal, as a person, you can create that form, and as long as they sign off on it. It's a legal document. I mean, you get it notarized to put the extra stamp on it, but for the most part, you can write up, you know, hey, this is the part that you're in on, and are you okay with that? So, yeah.
That's
gotta
why
cover
I
yourself, actually, definitely, Mr. Bunch.
I know you know. You know what I'm saying? Because you're a paralegal, you know, and that is so great, you know, that you're a paralegal and you're an author and you know the law. You know, and then you got
many
a
many hats, Mr. Brown.
Well, but can't you use like a fictitious?
Then you
but
got
can't
a
you
got
use like different names though?
You can. You can change the
and
names in
the
book if you
process,
like.
How does that work?
Yeah. And that's pretty much what is done, you know, if you don't want to. A lot of times, you know, you use the names, and if they're okay with it, like I said, you can have them sign off on that. But if there's a part of the story where there's a person and you, let's say you can't get a hold of them because you sent that form off and you haven't heard back from them, you can change that name. Give them an initial, you know, or you can find a way to kind of work that in the story to where you don't have to actually mention their name and be liable for it.
Got it.
Yeah. All right. I got you. And now that's some juice you just gave away, you know. So, and I know you normally charge for your paralegal service, right? shucks. You know, but you know one thing. Josie, tell the audience the best part of your book. What you like about your book, you know. What you like most about your book? What you think the audience would like about your book? You know, why they should, tell them why they should buy your book.
I think they should buy my book for everything that I just said a few minutes ago, that it's filled with so much character and nostalgia. I think for everybody who loves to be taken back to a good place, or be it good old times, or in the kitchen with grandma cooking, or just nice family get-togethers, or just remembering times of an era that you were raised in. I think I did an exceptional job with bringing all of that to life. So I think it's a way of putting the reader in the book with you to go on the journey. I think that is what's going to draw them in there. I mean, if you can't, I've heard this from a lot of my readers, that it is definitely a page-turner, and it's hard to put down. So I think it's just a captivating book overall. And it touches a lot of topics that we still deal with today. Everything from, you know, we don't want to live in those generational curses. So it talks about that. It talks about this family. It talks about the streets. You know, it talks about, you name it, it talks about it. What goes on with us and in life.
Wow, and you know what you say that happens, and it's still happening today, generational curses. That's big. Wow,
very important to change it. And I just, you know, I wanted to make sure that if I'm not here, those who need it is here for them, and definitely for my children and my family is here. You know, it's there for you. Pick it up and read it.
Now, do you give the your readers, okay, do you give them the opportunity, you know, or examples on how to change things in their life or what? Or you just talk about it, you know, like sometimes?
I talk about it.
Okay.
And the outcome of those stories show you what can happen with perseverance, with patience, with love, with time, with making better choices. I think there is definitely plenty of lessons in the book, but they play out in the story. So they're not the kind of stories that don't have, you know, happy endings to them. Although they may not be the best ending or the happiest ending, there is definitely some light at the end of that tunnel. For every situation, I believe, you know, it's just being encouraged and knowing that it, you know, the tools are there, but you have to use them. You got to use them if they're there. But I think the stories help. The stories will help.
Yeah. Wow. When you say tools, you know, like, I went to back to school. And I took up behavior science and social and community service. I got a couple of degrees in that, you know. And I specialized in drugs and alcohol, okay? And that's what we mainly talked about, is having tools in your toolbox, how to deal with certain things. And that's what you're talking about, you know, the tools And that's so important in life, you know, for you to have tools in your toolbox, in your memory bank or whatever, so that way if a situation come up, well, then you be able to go in that toolbox and pull that out and be able to deal with it a little bit better. You know, that's so important.
Yes,
you know, I really enjoyed that. Again, I got to announce this year, you guys are listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show. And if you guys want to ask Ms. Josie a question, or if y'all want to elaborate on something, please press 1 and I'll let you in. Okay, press 1. You know. Okay, Tamaya, it's on you. Oh, we got a lot of
people. I've asked most of my questions. One of the things that I did forget to ask you, I know you mentioned the 4 J's, and I know the answers to this, but the cover on your book, tell the audience or tell everyone listening about the picture and what inspired you to use that photo.
So the picture was painted by Kayla Logan, who is very talented. She is awesome. I asked her to paint the picture for my mother's, for a Christmas present for her. So I didn't know that I was going to use it for the cover. But I have posted a picture, which is the picture that she painted, and it's also in the book, so you can see the picture in the book. Every time I would post it up, people would love the picture for Throwback Thursday. So I thought, wow, it would be a great picture. It shows family, but there is no written book about family etiquette. People can try and say that, but folks look at families from the outside and they judge. They have no idea what that family has either been through, what they've gone through, or what they may be going through at that time. So it's so easy
Amen.
To just look and say, wow, they're so put together, but you have no clue. Or, you know, they think they all that, but you have no idea what that family has been through. So I just thought it would be the perfect picture to use for the cover of the book, that painting I thought would be perfect. And I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. It is and my sisters and brothers.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like, if I'm not mistaken, was that one of the Olin Mills classics? Remember when everybody would dress up on a Sunday and go sit in front of the studio? Was that an Olin Mills classic?
Yes, and they claim I was cutting up as always in there, but yes, it was.
Okay, and as Mr. Brown mentioned earlier, did you check with Olin Mills and get permission to use a painted photo of it? No, I'm just kidding.
My mama bought that picture.
When you say she on the rights of that picture, she bought
my mama bought that picture.
She sold it to
her. It's mine now. Okay.
That is so. But you know, one thing, we only got 7 minutes left on the show. And so, again, if you guys want to ask a question, please press 1. Okay? And now I wanted to ask you something. You know, we're having a lot of problems out here, you know, with we have to wear masks and we can't go and on certain places, you know, and we have to do a lot of. How have COVID affected your family? The COVID-19.
Well, it has definitely put a lot of space in between us all. And you just have to be so creative in how you find ways to get together and hang out. And it's so hard because we all know once we get together, we're going to be in each other's space. You know, it is what it is. So we tried in the beginning, and I think we all did a pretty good job. You know, you do as best as you could do with just staying safe. I think we all went through our own personal issues, be it if it was adjusting to the workplace, becoming, you know, school teachers at home. Just dealing with COVID itself was a big change. And then Black Lives Matter happened at the same time. So I think we handled it as well as we could, but we found creative ways to still be together and still stay close because we're just a close family. We are a close family, so COVID wasn't going to stop us.
Amen. And I see that you talked about it, to where as though this COVID situation, it gave you the opportunity to finish your book.
It did. It did, and I'm working actually on my second book now that I'm hoping will be done by this spring. So it has definitely sparked, ignited that in me to want to write more. And like I said, my daughters are at an age now where it has opened up that time to let me do that. So that's what I plan on doing, focusing more on writing.
All righty. And why don't you tell the audience where they can find your book and your social media handles?
Well, thank you. So on social media, my Instagram is Jazoe on the Go. And Facebook is Jazoe Smith Green. And the book can be purchased at Amazon. And if you go to Goodreads and look for Family Etiquette, you can also purchase it through Amazon, but at Goodreads. So you can either go to Goodreads and search for Family Etiquette, or you can go to Amazon and search for Family Etiquette. Or you put in my name, Jazoe, J-A-Z-O-E, the book will pop up. So I appreciate everyone's support.
Okay. And another thing, too, let's say somebody wanted a signed copy.
If you want a signed copy, you can just note-tape that. So you can put it somewhere in the notes when you purchase the book from Amazon. And then that's not a problem at all. That's not a problem at all. And I plan on coming back to Stockton here in a couple of months. So when I do, I will also let readers know that as well, and those who want to buy.
Okay. When and where your next book signing going to be?
We are hoping to have it in Stockton towards the end of April, first part of May. And we'll definitely have that posted up on Facebook and Instagram. And I'll be sure, Mr. Brown, to definitely let you and Tamaya know.
Yeah, definitely let me know, because I want to go, you know.
Okay.
Definitely. Now, one more thing. If you had anything positive to tell the audience, what would it be?
That they can overcome life's most difficult obstacles. Just stay encouraged.
Okay. All right. Stay encouraged.
And stay hopeful, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds good. All right. Well, Tamaya, you can go ahead on and close us out.
Mr. Brown, I don't know how to close out the show.
Yeah, you close it just like you opened
it. Multitasking. I don't know how to close it. You know what? Hey, listen, I want to thank everybody for calling in and for listening. Miss Josie, I'm sorry, Jazzo Josie, it's my cousin. I've been calling her Josie for decades. So, hey, it's Josie to me, okay, guys? But anyways, Josie, thanks for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you. I'm so excited about your book and can't wait to see what else you have coming out in the near future, and your book signing in April, May. Make sure you hit me up. And, my positive word or phrase for the day is light-skinned lives matter, too. So there.
Yes.
Thank you for joining.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Brown. Thank you so
much,
you
know, thank
and
you
all
everybody.
The listeners. I appreciate you all.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys for listening in. We had a board full. And with that said, I'm going to say good night, everybody. Good night. Y'all go
good
out there
night.
And bless somebody.
Good night.
Good
night. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.